Hey friends, did you know that there's a new standard from the Health Level 7 International Community for sharing healthcare data? It's called Fast Healthcare Interoperability Resources, or FHIR. You can use the managed FHIR service in Azure to accelerate development of your FHIR applications. Michael Hansen is here to give us a tour of the new Azure API for FHIR today on Azure Friday. Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's another episode of Azure Friday. How are you, Michael Hansen?
Very good. Glad to be here.
I am very excited to hear about this. This is like the intersection of everything that I like, healthcare and data and standards and Azure. So talk to me about FHIR.
Yeah, so FHIR is a new standard for sharing healthcare information. If you've ever gone to the doctor in America or anywhere in the digitized world, you'll know that we've gotten very good at putting everybody's records into electronic form. Doctor's always busy typing, but mm-hmm. then if you've tried to move from one doctor to another, you'll notice that that's hard. Or if you try to get access to your own healthcare information, you'll know that that's hard. So within the standards community, there's been a big effort to make that better. And they've come up with this new standard called FHIR. And the idea is really to have modern REST APIs that you can pull and interact with healthcare data with. And so this standard is defined in the community. You can find all about the standard here at hl7.org/FHIR. Mm-hmm. And so this is an open standard. It's not something that we're participating in the development of this standard at Microsoft, but it's really a community effort. Mm-hmm. And with this standard, everything that you can think about in a healthcare system is modeled as what we call a resource. So think of it as an object with some properties. So mm-hmm. a patient would be a resource, condition is a resource, encounter is a resource, and so on. And then we have this REST API that we can use to search this data, update the data, retrieve the data, and so on. And so that's really what we're busy implementing stuff to enable customers to work with in the cloud.
As a point of context, I've been a type 1 diabetic for 25 years, and I've been collecting data about myself. And over the years, it's gone from CSV files to Mongo databases, and now it currently runs in an Azure app service. But when I go to my doctor uses proprietary systems with third-party companies that we have to interact with.
Yep.
I would love a world where we can really interoperate and share my data with my doctor in a safe and secure way.
Yeah, so the idea is really that regardless of what proprietary system your doctor uses behind the scene, what electronic medical record system they use, there should be a FHIR API where you as a patient can go and get access to your data, or maybe another provider that you need care from
right.
can access your records and so on. And so to enable customers to work with this standard in Azure, we are developing first-party components that can be building blocks in these solutions that you build. And the first thing that we're building really is a FHIR server. And this is an open source project. So there's really two outlets of this work that we're doing on our team. One is this open source project, which is a FHIR server that you can go grab off GitHub here and deploy yourself into your own Azure subscription. Mm-hmm. It's basically a front-end API, and then there's a back-end database. In the open source here, we have either a Cosmos DB back-end or a SQL Server-based back-end. Mm-hmm. And in the open source, we also support a couple of different versions of this standard. It's a fairly new evolving standard. So STU3 was the previous version. Release 4 is what's the latest version, and we support both of those in the open source project here. Mm-hmm. But you go, you can take this code, you deploy it into your own Azure subscription, and then you have a FHIR server. So it's really just an API with a database behind it. But of course, not all customers will want to grab the open source code, run it themselves. Mm. So the other option that we have here is for us on our team to run this on behalf of customers. Mm. And so we have a managed service for this now in Azure, where you can quickly go and spin up a FHIR API and be up and running.
So FHIR as a service, but I might have existing data, like I do actually have, I've got 3 years of data, not just encounters and conditions, but ongoing data. I have blood sugar data every 5 minutes for 24 hours a day for 3 to 5 years, and I would want to kind of feed that into the FHIR server and make it available. Is that too much? Do I have to build an adapter?
Well, depending on the format of your data, there may well be some restructuring of the data that goes on. But I'll show here in a second a few ways that you can get data into this service
awesome.
Fairly quickly, but using other components that we have in Azure, like functions and so on. But just quickly, if you wanted to get a FHIR server, you can see I already have a demo environment running here that I'll get to in a second. But let's say you just wanted a FHIR service. Mm-hmm. We now have this as a first-party service, so I can just go here in the Azure portal and type FHIR, and then there is actually the Azure API for FHIR,
nice.
Which you can see as a preview service here. And I would simply say, create the few details you would need to fill in. I'd probably need a resource group for this here. Friday, I should say. And I would also need to give it a name. There you go. And there are some additional details around who has access to it and so on. We use Azure Active Directory as the identity source for this managed service.
All right.
But once you've filled in these details, you simply say review and create, and then a few minutes later, you will have a Fire API up and running and ready to go.
Awesome.
So that makes it easy for people like yourselves that want, I want a place for my own Fire data to land, and you can be quickly up and running with this, but also partners that we work with that are building applications on top of the Fire standard, but they're not necessarily in the business of making a Fire server, but they need this as a component where they can securely store their data and have somebody run that for them. And,
exactly.
And that's the service that we have available here.
Yeah, see, if I feel like I'm qualified to store my data and worry about my data, but I'd rather not run a Fire server, I'd rather you run it for me.
You would like to have somebody else wear the pager in the middle of the night.
That's, well said.
That's what we do. So, but of course, this is just a Fire server, and an API is not super exciting to play with on its own. So if you want to get your feet wet and play with this a little bit, we've actually created a little buddy repository here, which is called Fire Server Samples, where you can go in and spin up a small scenario that shows not just the Fire API, but also a number of client applications accessing this. So it's available on GitHub as well. Our team maintains this. So we, keep it up to date with the latest developments that we have in the Fire API.
Cool.
So a few diagrams that you can find here, but this is basically the scenario we're deploying here. There's of course the Fire API itself. Then we have a couple of different dashboards, and I'll show them, but different flavors of applications that you can play with, take apart. And then we have something called Smart on Fire applications. So Smart on Fire is kind of a framework that's built on top of the Fire standard, and it describes that you should exchange healthcare data in the Fire form and using the Fire API, but also how a third-party application may go and access a Fire API in terms of authentication, getting a token, and so on, and that whole flow. And that's something that's very common among with the electronic medical records as well. Third parties can develop Smart on Fire applications that can go to the Fire server and say, how do I authenticate, go through the whole flow, get a token, and then access the Fire data, and I'll show a couple of examples of that. And then in this scenario, to enable input and output of the data, we have an Azure function here that can grab patient data from blob storage, pull it in, and then we also have a data factory that can pull it out again in what's called in what's the sort of bulk Fire format in the Fire community, and hopefully we'll have a chance to look at that too. So what I've done here is I've already spun this up. It takes about 5 minutes to stand up this environment. There are some instructions here on how you do it and how you configure it, the different flavors of this environment. We'll skip over this here in the interest of time, but it's pretty straightforward. We have some automation to do this. So I've spun up one of these environments all here, and this is all the resources that you sort of that get plopped in here. It looks a little bit overwhelming, but I'll walk through some of these things are. So first of all, there is an Azure API for Fire here, which is sort of the central part of our environment. And then because what we do when we spin up this demo environment, we also create some dummy users and various identities and stuff so that you can play with this environment for a little bit. And we store the details for those users in this key vault that's available here so that you can go and grab these various things. So for instance, you can see here there's an administrative user here and he has a password. I'm going to grab this password here from the key vault. And then there are a number of web apps in there, a number of app service apps where we host some basic code that we've created ourselves for demo, but also where we host some of these Smart on Fire applications that we don't actually write ourselves, but we pull them in from external repositories to show that we can have third-party applications work against our service. So I'm going to grab one of these dashboards here. This is a JavaScript one in this particular case here. And I'm just waiting here for the URL to show up for this, which it will hopefully do. Here we go. And I'm going to open this up in a private window here so I can sign in with my with a dummy user that I created or that the environment created.
All right.
So, sorry. This is a
that's quite a test tenant
that we have. I didn't want to create all the test users here, but now we can see I'm going through the flow here, mm-hmm. and it's asking for permission to access my healthcare API in the background.
Okay.
So this app is now going to pop up, and I have no patients in this environment. So I'm going to see an empty list of patients here, and I'm going to go ahead in a second and import some patients into it. But what you do have available in this test dashboard is a little About Me link here where you can see what FHIR API I'm connected to here, and also actually grab a token for this if you wanted to put that over into Postman and just play with your API. Mm-hmm. It's of course not something you would do in a production app, but here for a sandbox, this is quite handy. So if we go back to our all the resources here in our demo environment, one of the things that we have deployed here is an Azure function. And this function listens to a storage account, and once we dump some patient data into the storage account, it will kind of get ingested into this service. And this is this particular function here. So we don't actually use the URL endpoint here of the function, but you can just check that it's up and running and make sure that everything is working. What we're going to import into this here is synthetic data. So we can't, of course, put real live patient data into this as we're playing around. Mm-hmm. But there is actually, you could just see actually there was a little message here saying that the healthcare API that we just deployed was now in fact done. What we're doing is we're generating synthetic data that we're pulling into this environment. Mm-hmm. And I'll get back to what that is in a second. But there is a little import folder here that you can go into and just say, I want to import some patients. And what we're importing is what we in FHIR call bundles of data. So each of these files here represent a bundle of data that is everything that's connected to a specific patient. Mm-hmm. And the way that this data was generated was with a project called Cynthia, which is actually an open source project that has been developed very much in this community as well. And what this is, it's really like a patient simulator. You know, a patient gets born, they go to the pediatrician, they get weighed, they get measured.
Oh, wow.
They have healthcare events, and they may have a symptom, and then there somebody rolls a dice.
Yeah, yeah.
They
well, it's SimCity, but it also works the FHIR lifecycle.
So it basically takes people through their lives, and as they go through their lives, they interact with the healthcare system at various points in time.
That's cool.
Generating observations, medications, encounters, all these things that happen in a healthcare system.
That's cool.
And so if you work with healthcare data, this is super useful because you sort of get a very realistic, it's not real, but it's sort of realistic.
Real, yeah, realistic, but not real.
Yeah. And so what this little function does is it grabs these bundles of data that contain all this information and then just makes sure that all the internal references are correct and then pushes it all into the FHIR API. So if I now flip over to my demo application and refresh here, I should see that I now have some patients in here in my patient dashboard.
Uh-huh.
And I can see in this case I imported 11 patients. And mm-hmm. in this little dashboard you can then, if you're not familiar with the FHIR standard, this is kind of neat for just browsing around, seeing what FHIR actually is. So I can take a look at this patient here, for instance, and hopefully I can take a look at this patient, see what their data looks like. Sorry.
Okay. So they've got a sinus infection.
Yeah. I was just not being patient enough. I'll grab this patient here, for instance.
There's the API itself.
So this is, of course, again, you would not have this in a production
of course.
App. But this is useful for getting familiar with the standard. I can go in here and grab this patient here in this case. See, there was a bunch of different things, encounters and so on, going on with this patient here. I can go back to my list of patients. I had another one up here. And again, yeah, sinus infection and so on. I can grab these various, look at what the different FHIR resources actually look like.
Wow.
And of course, there are many other resources than these particular ones that we're looking at. We've just got some conditions, encounters, for observations down here. For instance, you can see an observation would be things like body weight or hemoglobin, other things that get measured on these patients. But of course, there are many other things that happen to a patient. There's billing information, all this. All of this is also in the FHIR API, so you can go in and play with the applications and modify these things. But there's then these third-party applications that you can use with your FHIR API. Once your data is in FHIR form, there's this kind of ecosystem of applications out there that adhere to this Smart on FHIR standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done here in the environment, I could just pull the diagram up here again, so to remind everybody, we have the Fire API and we're looking at the data in this dashboard. And from this dashboard, I could say, run this other application. It's actually hosted by somebody else, but point it to my Fire service and say, grab data from here, and it will initiate the authentication flow and so on. Mm-hmm. So I could grab this patient here, which is a child in this case, and then I could pull up a growth chart for this patient. So the growth chart application is one of the more famous examples in the Smart on Fire community. It's shown a lot, but it was developed as an example of something where you have something visual to look at that pull a number of different measurements from a patient. And that's also something that if you have a child yourself or have ever taken a child to the pediatrician, you'll know that this is something that the physician typically pulls up.
Now, this might be a silly question, but is that effectively a stateless application? Because it didn't pull the data, make a copy, and then squirrel it away. It pulled the data it needed to make the chart. It made the chart. I then read that, and then I closed the app, and that data remains in the Fire.
Yep. And so, and in fact, in this case, it's a pure JavaScript app. Nothing ever goes back to the server or anything.
Wow.
It just basically I just happened to have taken it out of the Smart on Fire GitHub repository and put it into a web app because I had to stick it somewhere.
Wow.
And so it's a single page JavaScript app. It initiates and then it goes to our Fire server and says, how do I authenticate myself? Oh, it discovers that, you know, the endpoints.
Yep.
It initiates the flow. I'm already logged in this case, and then it's able to pull all the information out and then display this. So this now creates this ecosystem where somebody else can say, I want to develop this really cool app that can, you know, show me my blood sugar or how I might track various things. And then I just focus on the app because there is this standard that I'm building on top of.
That's fantastic.
And then the data can be hosted in Azure as well. So that's kind of, if we go back and look at our scenario, we've taken some data, we've taken it from blob storage, imported it in, and now it's in our Fire service and we can drive all these client applications. There are, of course, also customers that want to work with this data more in a sort of analytic way. And mm-hmm. It's not always, the REST API is not always the right tool for that.
Right.
Typically, they want to pull it into something like Databricks or something else. So in this little scenario here, we've actually set up a data factory. Oh, by the way, here where we imported all the data, if I refresh here now, we can see all these files are gone because mm-hmm. they actually got imported in. But if I go back to my resource group here, I have a data factory that we've configured. And we've actually configured it in a way that this would work pretty much with any Fire server. So there are different export capabilities that a Fire API can or cannot implement. In this case, we're doing something very simple where we're just interacting directly with the REST API to pull the data out, stage it. But the format that we end up putting into mm-hmm. is the format that the community is sort of coalescing around in terms of bulk export, which is really, it's a new line delimited JSON format, so every line in the file would be a new resource.
Wow.
And you generate these giant JSON files that you can then, you know, for instance, do stuff with in something like Databricks. So the template here that we have that deploys this stuff sets up export pipelines for various resources. So here's, for instance, patient, and we'll just go in here and initiate the export. It's actually a two-stage process in this case, but we're just using some basic functionality in Data Factory to interact with our API. It goes into blob storage, and we reformat it a little bit. You see the first stage is done here, mm-hmm. and in a couple of seconds, the second stage should be done as well. So now we've actually exported all of our patient data, and I could just for completeness here, export a little bit more. So I'm taking out all my observations as well.
And then in the interest of time, once you've worked through that process, you
yep.
can, you, now a data scientist could go to town.
Yeah, exactly. So we've actually put into this repository here a little IPython notebook mm-hmm. that you could import into Databricks, just as an example. Shows how you can connect to the storage account that's associated with this data factory. Create temporary tables pulling out various observations, some from demographic information, some that's actual weight and height information, mm-hmm. do various queries across it and joins and so on, and do more like population scale analytics on the data that you might have in your Fire API.
Fantastic.
So go try it out.
So this is in preview right now.
Yep.
And folks that are interested in this can get involved on GitHub. They can look at the server. They can,
yeah.
as you said, go into Azure Dashboard and make one of these themselves.
Yep.
And as you've pointed out, there's more than enough synthetic sample data for you to play with.
Yep.
And I know I'm going to play with this with my own personal data.
Yep.
Fantastic. I am learning all about the Azure API for FHIR and all the great new things happening in healthcare on Azure today on Azure Friday.